It's seeking the Lord's blessing. Let's turn together to Luke's Gospel in chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and just for a few moments, we can consider aspects related to verse 45. Luke chapter 24 and verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Then he opened their minds. As we consider and reflect upon our own spiritual life and our own walk of faith, we freely admit that there are many struggles in the life of faith, many challenges that we encounter. And the greatest reality is that the greatest challenge and the greatest difficulties that we have in our Christian living and in our Christian thinking is within ourselves. And we realize that often we're held back by the struggles that are within. That the greatest battle that we face spiritually is the battle within. And the battle to believe, and the battle to have clarity, and to give ourselves fully to the commitment of God's word. And as we say this, we don't deny or undermine in any respect the reality of the greater challenges that stand around us. There are many storms in our lives, many pains and many difficulties and many hardships that we face, providences that are hard for us to encounter and overcome. And yet we realize that even within that context, there is a far greater challenge than what is going on around us. In the manner that we respond, we face the greatest challenge of all. In how we relate to our difficulties, in how our own emotions play their part, and how we struggle with doubts and fears, when in all reality we don't want the storm to be inside. What we want is that calm, and that trust, and that commitment. And when we come to examine what faith looks like, we realize that faith has gifts. It gives gifts to us. It promises to give these gifts, such as peace and contentment, such as a joy that cannot be crushed by circumstances and cannot be beaten by the storms and difficulties. But to realize such gifts and to know the fullness of what faith offers, we need to realize that we need a closer and deeper walk with the Lord. We need to know more of Him. We need to walk closer with Him. And we need within ourselves a greater conviction, a deeper clarity, a better understanding of what He teaches us. His statutes, His rules, they're our counselors, as we've just sung together. Our catechism taught us that this is our only rule and guide. And as we come to examine and study God's word, we want to apply this rule and guide. We want to live by this truth, and we want to die by this truth. We want this truth to be everything for us. And we realize how personal this truth is, how it speaks to us, how it displays itself in such lively examples. And especially when we come to the disciples, how informative their experience is, how relevant their lives, their questions, their struggles are to us. When we look at the disciples, we often see ourselves. We associate with them. We associate with what they're going through. They're here to teach us. We are to learn from them. We are to understand more and more of the spiritual life and the walk of faith through what they display to us. And here we find something of the true movement towards a better spiritual perception, of a clarity in their own minds and thinking, when they are being lifted from the despond to a greater perception and perspective. It's fear that holds them back. And so often it's fear that holds us back. I want us just to consider this in three regards. And first of all, that the obstacles are within. When we come to Luke chapter 24, and conscious we read some of it quite recently, as we considered aspects of the resurrection and its importance and significance, Luke here concludes his orderly account of the gospel of the life and death of Jesus Christ with the resurrection and ascension of the Lord. And the movement here for us is clear at the beginning of the chapter, the first day of the week, the resurrection day. Then at the same time on the road to Emmaus. And then ending here at the end of this chapter with the ascension, which actually occurs 40 days after the resurrection. But Luke is here trying to grant this information to us, to communicate these truths, to help us to consider what has happened here, to give us this information. And throughout it all, he is interweaving for us the experience of the disciples, what they think and how they feel, and how what is going on here is something that affects us too when we take here what they're going through, what their perception is. They were with Jesus. They were close to Jesus. They saw the things that he did. They heard the things he said and taught. They were with him in the most intimate of settings. They spent over 3 years with him somewhere in that region. They were there on the night that he was betrayed at the table. They saw his arrest. They knew his trial. They heard the mob baying for him. Crucify him. Crucify him. They saw his crucifixion. They saw Jesus put to death. One of their own number was the betrayer, Satan entering into the heart of Judas, and Judas coming to his own end. And their own experience hadn't gone well either. As all this unfolded, they forsook him. They fled. They denied him. And when we come to find them in chapter 24, they are still dealing with the aftermath of all that has gone on. They're despondent. They're disillusioned. They're struggling in their own faith and stumbling in the path of faith too. And when we consider and contemplate all of this, what we find is that they're in a dangerous place, spiritually speaking. And in the sense of their own emotional experience too. This is a dark place. This is a dark place they find themselves in. They've lost sight of what they ought to have kept close. And then in verse 36, as everything is unfolding, in verse 36, Jesus stood among them. Jesus comes before them in the midst of what John tells us is a locked room. And here Luke records this for us after the events of the road to Emmaus. And Jesus comes in verse 36, stood among them, and he said, "Peace. Peace to you." This is the word to the disillusioned disciples, stumbling and struggling in their own life of faith. This is what the risen Lord has to say to these disciples whose faith had crumbled so readily and so easily. And as we examine the disciples and their experience, we realize that Luke is trying to convey to us their emotional experience as he describes what they're going through. In verse 37, startled, frightened, And so too, in terms of the confusion and fear that they feel, that Jesus also speaks in this manner in verse 38. Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? And further, as Jesus goes on to speak to them, in verse 41, he says, why are you disbelieving? He says, this is unbelief. This is the refusal to believe. They are being crushed by these negative emotions of fear and confusion, of trouble and doubt. It's affected their heart. It has affected their soul. It's affected their walk with the Lord. All of these negative spiritual emotions overwhelming their soul, overwhelming their spiritual conduct, and demonstrating to us and illustrating the danger and power of negative emotions when they're unrestrained in the heart of the believer. Doubt takes you to a dangerous place. Fear and unbelief is a dark place. And they're in this dark place. This is an unhealthy spiritual place where emotions are hindering spiritual progress. And they've stumbled in this way where you allow doubt and fear to reign in the soul. The challenge of this year. And how what has been illustrated to us is that the worst obstacles of all are within our own hearts and our own being, our internal. This is the thing that holds us back more than anything else. It is not someone else. It is not something else. It is self. Holding us back from everything that we should be. Crushing us. Hindering us. Bringing us into that dark place and leaving us mercilessly there. We need to see that as we examine how complicated the disciples are, that it's us. It's you and me. It's our spiritual lives that are filled with contradictions. It's our faith that so often stumbles. It's fear and doubt that is endangering our spiritual lives and causing us to lose perspective and clarity and responding negatively and bringing us into despondency and despair. These are the challenges that we face. The reality of the obstacles within. Secondly, notice here that there are personal evidences given. Notice how the Lord is dealing with what is going on, dealing with them. In verse 36, peace to you. And verse 38, he speaks to them again. And then verse 39, he gives the evidence. He shows, first of all, his care. As their loyalty had crumbled, and that they had proved themselves so faithless and weak and vulnerable, he demonstrates that his care and love is absolutely unquestionable in terms of its loyalty and its faithfulness. He remains devoted to them, and he displays this with a word of comfort. Isn't this what we need more than anything? When we're in that dark place, when we can't understand, when doubt and fear overwhelms us and threatens to crush us, what do we need? Before we're given any reasoning or any argument, we need to know he cares. We need to know his love for us. We need not just assurance, but reassurance. The reassurance of his faithfulness. In verse 36, peace to you. It's peace he has achieved. It's peace he gives. He said this to them in the upper room, "My peace I give to you." Not a peace like this world, but a greater and deeper peace. We need to understand his love for us and his care. That helps us to cultivate what is good and what is belonging to our spiritual well-being, because feeding on what is negative is corrosive and destructive. We need to avail ourselves of what the Lord says of himself and says towards us. Peace to you. He speaks to them in this way, with their faults and failings and all. And he goes further. Verse 38, "Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? You shouldn't be in this place. You shouldn't be in the place of doubt. You shouldn't feel so overwhelmed. You shouldn't let the storm crush you." And then he says in verse 39, "See my hands, my feet, touch me, see." This is quite remarkable. Here we have the resurrected body of the Lord and the mystery surrounding it. In verse 36, he stood amongst them in a locked room he enters. But then in verse 39, he speaks of his wounds and displays them in a visible way. And then in verse 43, he eats. And what he is providing proof to them here is that this is him. "Look at my wounds. I was crucified for you. Look at my wounds. I was put to death for you. I died. And I'm alive." The most empowering truth of all: our Lord lives. His tomb is empty. His victory is over death. He has removed its sting. He has achieved what is so remarkable. And it doesn't matter what battle they will go through, what difficulty and challenge that they face, he tells them that he has won the greatest battle, which is the confidence for every battle. "See my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me. See." And then he goes on to move even more, to give them more evidence. In verse 41, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of fish. In verse 43, "He took it and he ate." He's alive. And then in the midst of this, as he has prepared everything, he is now moving on more. In verse 44 onwards, to speak to their understanding. But before he can get there, he must make everything personal in terms of the evidence to allay their fears, to remove the clouds that shroud all that would prevent what he is about to say to them. And so thirdly, he confirms truth to them. In verse 44, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you." In verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand. Here is the greatest of needs of all. Here is what is going to establish and strengthen. Here is what is going to encourage. Here is what is going to enable our moving on. That sense of conviction, of understanding, that truth needs to be invested in us. Jesus is telling them in verse 44, "I've already told you this. These things you already know." It is not a lack of information that is holding us back spiritually. Just like it was not a lack of information that held them back. They had been given all the knowledge, all the information required. They had been given this by Jesus in his preaching and in his teaching. But they need more. They need more to move from this place of doubt. They need more to move from this place of fear, of this place of despondency. They need more to move from this sorry situation they find themselves in. They need the experience that is personal. They already had this information, but at that point of testing, their faith crumbled. Fear overwhelmed them. They were frightened of what would happen to them. They could not move. They could not progress. How often this is a picture of ourselves. As we engage in all the challenges and all the hostilities and all the difficulties, we have the information. We have been told the truth. But fear is overwhelming us. It is inhibiting us. We need more. We need that strength of conviction and that personal experience because we stumble from one matter to another. We follow their pattern. And what we need is more. For we share their inconsistencies. And as much as the teaching is important, what is necessary is for it to become personal. Not just to be exposed to the truth, but that we embrace it, that it embraces us. The psalmist cried, "Open my eyes to behold the wondrous things of your law." This is what we're praying for insight, for a deeper and greater perception. In verse 45, he opened their minds. There is a transformation going on here in the thinking and in the reasoning of these disciples. And it is the kind of thinking that goes alongside, as Luke shows us, the two on the road to Emmaus. In verse 27, Jesus speaking to the two on the road to Emmaus, he says, "Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself." That's what he's doing here in verse 44. "Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then again in the road to Emmaus in verse 31, "Their eyes were opened." In verse 32, "Our hearts burned within us." This is the experience that is going on in verse 45. Their hearts are burning. Their insight is opened. There is this enlightenment in their mind and in their reasoning. In fact, Calvin even speaks of it as they're regaining possession of their minds, as if before this they were out of their minds, that fear had done this to them, that the stumbling in the life of faith does this to us. It puts us out of our right mind, out of our spiritual mind. Something needs to be recovered. We need to have this enlightenment and this opening. And this perception and this understanding. Because the threat is that we are overwhelmed by our struggles. That everything just gets on top of us. That it all becomes too much. And the problem then is not what's going on around us, but what is going on within us. But Jesus is calling us to more. He opened their minds to understand the scripture and said to them that Christ should suffer and rise on the third day, repentance of the forgiveness of sins proclaimed in his name. He wants us to walk with him. He calls us to follow him. He gives us this glorious gospel for all of life. Not just so that we would make heaven, but that we would know him and the wonder and depths of his love, and that we would comprehend his truth. But we need this kind of experience. Don't we need this to understand in this deep and personal way? People have communicated truth to us. But we need to know it. We need our whole being engaged by this truth. We need to be moved in our will, in our thinking, in our reasoning. We need to comprehend this truth. We need to understand what Jesus is saying here in verses 46 and 47 is that he has given us this message that saves souls, that sees what is unseen, that is a spiritual message for everyone around us, and it's a message that we ourselves need to be committed to. Let us not lose sight of this message. Let us not lose sight of the victory of our Lord. Let us not fall into that kind of despondency that we cannot get lifted out of. Let us not have a half-hearted Christianity that only goes so far and never makes any progress, that continues to stumble in the way, that is unwilling to move forward because it is imprisoned by fear and doubt and despond. Jesus says, "Follow me." We've got to keep on going. We've got to keep on moving. We've got to keep on progressing. Jesus calls us to be disciples and witnesses to the whole world. How is our witness going? Who are we sharing the gospel with? Who are we telling this truth? Are you saying you're too scared to tell? Too fearful of the repercussions? That the culture is too hostile? That the society is so contrary to truth that you're scared to do and say anything? These men were hated by the world. The world put most of them to death. Let's not have our faith inhibited by what we think others might say to us or do to us. Let's be bold. Let's tell everyone, he is alive. Here is the good news. Here is this salvation. We need to engage ourselves more and more with who Christ is because we are wasting too much of precious time in self and doubt and fear. Faith calls us for more. Faith calls us to this place. It is the disciples, the people who were following Jesus, who had their minds opened. Who had their minds opened. We cannot continue to be inhibited in any way. What we need is a greater experience, a greater revelation, a personal walk with him, where that truth is confirmed, where our lives are changed, where we are truly following and knowing him as our Lord and Savior. He opened their minds to understand. Are our minds opened? Are we really following him? Do we understand and comprehend? Or are we feeding ourselves in our doubts and fears and affecting our soul and our spiritual walk in such a negative way where he says, let's deny ourselves. Let's take up the cross and let's follow him. May it be so for each and every one of us that we would follow this Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks to you for your kindness and goodness. We pray that you would bless each one of us as we seek to understand more and more of the Word and of our Savior. Help us to follow him as we should. Help us to understand and deal with the things that hold us back. And forgive us our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing then to God's praise in Psalm 118 on page 399. We'll stand to sing verses 19 to 26 and remain standing for the benediction. And if you're able, there's tea and coffee available afterwards if you're able to stay behind. O set ye open unto me the gates of righteousness, then will I enter into them, and I, the Lord, will bless. Psalm 118, verses 19 to 26. Let's stand to sing.
O set ye open unto me the gates of righteousness,
Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.